host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to Alchemy. Today I'm joined with John McLeod, co-founder and chief development officer of Cloud Cannabis. John, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. It's a pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you on. And, John, I was really excited to chat with you today. You were a former Detroit police officer, now turned cannabis entrepreneur. So lots to talk about today, but I thought, it'd be a really great, entrance into the episode of, give us the story. How did you go from being a police officer to getting into cannabis?
Yeah, that's great. We like to call policing the pot almost is kind of what we say here. But I became a police officer very early on in life. It's all I ever dreamed about doing from the seventh grade on. So I was very excited about the prospects of being in law enforcement, loved my job as a police officer. And then I got injured at work. And when I get injured at work, I had a couple different surgeries. And was put on a very familiar train for a lot of people, which is the opiate train. And I was told that I was going to be fine as long as I treated my pain with opiates. And I never stopped using them, and I increased them incrementally over time. And for me, the prospect of that just seemed kind of daunting and a little bit hopeless, so to speak. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how the journey took place. And after a couple very hard conversations with my wife and in a very fruitful conversation with a good friend of mine who is a doctor in the cannabis industry, I made the transition to try cannabis. And Jeff, it was like flipping a switch. I mean, it was literally like flipping a switch. It was unbelievable. And I've gone from someone who they told was going to be on opiates the rest of my life without interruption to someone who hasn't taken as much as an aspirin in over 8.5 years. And I've been able to successfully treat my pain with cannabis. And I've been able to live the best version of my life, the highest version of myself with the use of cannabis as medicine. And it was really, it was eye-opening for me on a number of different fronts, but really just blown away by the healing properties of this plant.
That's awesome. And so are you using this personal story to really, go out there and educate, friends, educate local officials and really talking to them about hey, this has changed my life. This is how cannabis can really help others. Are you out there really evangelizing that story?
Oh, I am out there. I am out there, Jeff. I mean, for me, it's been an evolution, but it's really been transformational. For me and the way I look at just healing and medicine is in general, but certainly having the law enforcement background allows me to get a certain level of understanding with people that kind of removes the stigma of cannabis. The stigma is probably one of the biggest things that we fight on a day-to-day basis. And when someone hears my story, hears that I was in law enforcement, there's a certain level of, I think, legitimacy that comes from my experience and that conversion from the policing to cannabis that I think it helps. It certainly gives some cover for these governmental officials or elected officials when they're promulgating these rules regarding cannabis, whether they're going to allow it or not allow it or where they're going to allow it. My conversion, my experience, and my outlook on it, I think, kind of helps them understand where it really should be and that it's not something that we should be afraid of. And it also provides them an ability to say, look, this is a former police officer who has not only been helped by the healing properties of cannabis, but has also been able to open successful cannabis businesses in the state. And it allows it to be a little bit more legitimate, I think, in their eyes, whether rightfully so or not. It certainly opens some doors that I think otherwise would be closed.
Mm-hmm. And do you kind of think back when you were an officer and, you know, obviously, you know, cannabis was illegal. Like, how has it changed your perception on the actual, like, plant? Like, would you, I'm sure you looked at it very differently back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I just, again, it was my own naivety. I think I didn't know what I didn't know. And I was never really a guy in my law enforcement career that was really a guy that went after cannabis, small time drug sales. I was a police officer in Detroit. We had plenty of things to pursue if we wanted to keep our day busy. So cannabis was never a focus of mine. As a matter of fact, I was having a conversation with somebody about a month ago, and I was trying to look back and think, how many people did I actually arrest for cannabis possession? And I don't think there was a single person. I know I didn't write a single speeding ticket my entire career as well. So I guess I didn't want to be a hypocrite on a number of different occasions, but it certainly opens your eyes to the fact that people use cannabis, you know, previously illegally, but now legally, particularly in Michigan, to treat a number of different ailments. And some of them are approved ailments that would allow you to qualify for a medical recommendation, but some aren't. And it doesn't change that it's medicine. So the other thing we're seeing a lot in Michigan is there's a lot of people that use cannabis as medicine, but don't get their medicinal cards because of stigmas or because of employment or because of a number of different reasons. There's 300,000 registered patients in the state of Michigan. There's 6.9 available retail adult use customers for the recreational market. What we've seen is that 300,000 patient number is really kind of staying still. It's not dropping rapidly like a lot of people predicted, partly because of the 10% excise tax on adult use sales in Michigan, but also partly by the fact that people still want to be, they still want the cover of having a medical card. It helps with the stigma. Maybe it helps with their own personal relationships that they can say, hey, I have a medicinal card. So that's why I use it. But there's so many people in the adult use market that are using cannabis for medicine. It's a recreational drug, but it's also medicine. So there's tens of thousands of people in the state that use it for medicine that don't have their medicinal card.
Mm-hmm. So, John, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, Cloud Cannabis itself. So, you know, talk to us about the opening. Obviously, you guys are in Michigan. You know, you guys have a pretty amazing brand. I think even the creative around it is, you know, very much, you know, like we were talking about earlier with, like, you know, the cloud pun there, but it seems very light and airy, which is nice. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, the launch of it. You guys are in a bunch of markets. How is it going?
Yeah, so it's going great. It's going great. And I'll be honest with you, I'm having the time of my life, Jeff. I feel so fortunate to be in the position we're at. And Cloud Cannabis is really bringing a new brand of cannabis to Michigan. We're a family company. We were founded by friends. It's a startup in every sense of the word. It's a family business in every sense of the word. We're self-funded. We own all of our assets. We own all of our real estate. We own all of our licenses. And we've done so the right way. We're a culture-driven company. You know, I mean, we really work really hard for each other. And we hold each other accountable. You know, we have sometimes very difficult conversations with each other, but we're open, we're honest, we're communicative, and we mean what we say what we mean. There's no secret sauce here, right? Mm-hmm. We're just trying to be the best ambassadors of cannabis that there can be in the industry and do so at a very in a very professional manner so that people can feel proud to be Cloud Cannabis consumers. People can feel proud to be aligned with our brand, and we can feel proud to show our brand off to our mothers or grandmothers or aunts or uncles or cousins. And it's something we can stand in front of and say, yes, this is us and this is what we do. And I think that's the biggest piece, is just pride in ownership, but also doing it the right way.
That's great. And so, you know, we were just talking about your customers, like, who is your target customer?
But we'll take everyone. I mean, our target customer is anyone, whether they're cannabis curious, cannabis experienced, or new to cannabis. I think in Michigan, particularly, there's kind of a hole in the market where after you get a recommendation from a doctor to get a medicinal card, and then you go to a shop to actually purchase product, there's nothing in between. So if someone is unfamiliar with cannabis or the dosing of cannabis or the proper usage of cannabis, we want to try to fill that gap for them. We want to approach our consumers with the teacher's heart, because ultimately it's a very scary transition to go from a non-cannabis user to a cannabis user if you don't have some type of guidance, because the market is full of products,
right,
of different dosages, of different, you know, usage, candies, gummies, vapes, flower, what have you, concentrates. So we really try to hold people's hands, whether they be medical patients or adult use consumers, hold their hand, explain to them the products, explain to them the proper dosing, and make sure that it's an experience that they can get the best out of each time. Now, cannabis isn't for everyone. So we're not going to, not every single person that tries cannabis is going to become a regular cannabis user. We understand that. But what we want to do is we want to make sure that that experience is done properly the first time. So if it's for you, great. If it's not for you, great. That's the, you know, either way. But we want to make sure the experience is proper. So we've all heard the story about someone who's eating a brownie or a cookie or something like that, that maybe a friend made or someone bought, and they got really high, and they were high for a couple of days, and, you know, they were just overdosed, yes, right? Too high of a dosage for them. So we try to go the opposite route. We'll try to microdose. We'll start off slow and work your way up. So you can really take advantage of the mm-hmm. full healing benefits of cannabis without having that negative initial experience.
And so, you know, I think a lot of people around the country are really looking at the Michigan market right now because it's really started to heat up. What's the market like being in it?
Well, it's ever changing. It's a moving target, I tell you that much. The nice thing in Michigan is that being that we're a local company, you know, we're all born and raised in Michigan. We have really good connections throughout the state. And it allows us maybe a first to market advantage with real estate that conforms, or with making sure you have the right connections at the municipal level in order to get stuff through. You know, I've been in the cannabis industry in Michigan for about 4 years now, exclusively just doing cannabis. And every single day, it still feels like we're just at the front end of this thing. So I know there's a lot of projections for Michigan to be certainly top five, but maybe even top three market for cannabis in the entire country. It certainly feels like it's trending that way. This is a very, very cannabis friendly state, and the growth and the margins are just through the roof. And it feels like once the supply catches up with the demand, which I think is probably going to take another 3 to 5 years, to be honest with you, I think this is going to be an extraordinarily robust market.
Incredible. Now, you guys opened up a new location in Ann Arbor, and I believe you guys did it during the pandemic. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we're actually opening our Ann Arbor store on October 8th. It'll be our second store. Our first store we opened in Muskegon in June. So we've been open there since June. And yes, we did it during the pandemic. We originally had an April 20th open date, you know, a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge to 420 there. And mm-hmm. we delayed it. And then finally, what has taken place because of COVID is strictly just a curbside online order model where there's no in-store sales. And it's been working relatively well. I mean, I've been really actually kind of pleased with it. The one downside is that, you know, a lot of times consumers want to see the products, right? They want to see, particularly the concentrates or the leaf, they would like to see it before they purchase it. And unfortunately, the Michigan laws do not allow us to display product or sample product. We're just not there yet. So I think that hurts us in sales with this curbside or online model only. But what it does allow us to do is make sure that our consumers and our employees are as safe as they can be during this unprecedented time.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of the folks that we work with too, at least on the dispensary side, you know, brand awareness is obviously a lot more difficult in cannabis than, let's say, traditional brand marketing. So I'm just curious for, you know, with you guys, like, how are you guys really getting the word out there about the brand and, you know, driving traffic and advertising?
Yeah. So we're trying every avenue we can, you know. A big thing is just organic word of mouth type of exposure. That's a big piece. Certainly, there's some online advertising, some billboards. You know, we have a great PR agency that's getting some really outstanding interviews like this one I'm on right now with you. And we're just trying to get as many eyes as possible on Cloud Cannabis Company. We think that our brand brings a lighter feel, a more joyful feel, a more opening feel to the Michigan market than is currently out there. And we're not playing into the stereotypes of, you know, using the traditional cannabis slang or, niche words or something like that. There's no green flashing crosses in front of our stores. You know, there's not neon outlining the windows. I mean, we're very, very, very professional. We're trying to bring a very, very, very corporate experience to cannabis because it allows it to be accessible to a large portion of the state that currently would not walk into one of those green flashing light dispensaries or a dispensary with some type of a cliche play on words for marijuana or something like that. So I think that's the biggest thing we're trying to do. The other thing, too, is we want our consumers that come see us to be repeat consumers, right? That's a big push for us. So it's all about providing an A1 top-notch white glove experience the first time in order to bring that traffic back. So, for instance, our Muskegon store, our operations are so finely tuned in that we actually last week got below a 6-minute total turnaround time. So from the second you order on site to the second you've paid and you're leaving our facility, we're averaging 5 minutes and 51 seconds. And for us,
wow,
that was huge because there's a big, it's very slow at a lot of these places. I think the average wait time at most cannabis businesses in Michigan is somewhere around 27 to 31 minutes. So we're providing
wow.
a level of speed.
Just the wait time beforehand. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. It's unbelievable. And we're going beginning to end in less than 6 minutes right now, but doing so the right way. I mean, we're not pushing people out. You know, we're holding people's hands. But if you do it the right way, and there's no drama in between, you can provide a really class act experience in a timely manner. So as you're not draining people's days where they have to spend a half an hour, 45 minutes or an hour waiting at your facility to make a purchase, you know, it's really in and out. And I think that's something that's going to really set us apart, particularly in Ann Arbor. I mean, I'm most excited for that because Ann Arbor is, you know, I mean, it's the epicenter of cannabis in Michigan. I mean, particularly in the Midwest. I mean, everyone knows Ann Arbor because of cannabis or the University of Michigan, you know. And certainly for us, we feel like we're bringing a new level of cannabis to a very, very mature cannabis market in Ann Arbor. And I'm so excited about that because I think that they have been not experiencing the best of the business as of yet. So I'm excited for October 8th to bring that to Ann Arbor.
That's incredible. And I wish you guys a lot of success there. You know, one thing that I wanted to bring up with you today is obviously we are now into, which I cannot believe, October. And that only means that, you know, the holidays are right around the corner. So, you know, holidays obviously huge for any brand. But in particular, you know, cannabis dispensaries are really banking on this. So I'm just curious for, you know, on your front, like any plans that you guys are doing that's different from the ordinary to really drive more traffic into the stores?
You know, it's a great question, Jeff. And I'll say this. I think what we bring to the table differently is we're talking about as a company, how can we benefit our community during these holidays. So when you talk about driving traffic to the stores, I love that idea. And I'm sure it's something we're working on in the back end with our marketing team. But my thought process is I'm excited about the turkey drives that we're going to do or about the engagement with the homeless shelter in Ann Arbor that we're going to do to provide warm meals and warm places to stay for people that are really going to be put out this winter. So when I think of the holidays, I think about the less fortunate and really the focus that we have as a company in outreach and community engagement and how we can make our communities better, notwithstanding the cannabis experience. You know, so certainly I hope that traffic picks up for the holidays for our locations, but I'm most excited about the engagement stuff that we have on tap and the good that we're going to do in these communities in which we're operating in.
That's fantastic. So, you know, one last question on the business front. I was reading up on a whole bunch of things on you guys, and, you know, it looks like you guys are really looking to expand and move into a number of new locations. I think I saw 10 locations over the next 2 years. And so that obviously is massive from a scaling perspective, but also, you know, it's going to bring so many jobs, and especially during the pandemic, so many people have been unemployed. So I'm just curious on your front, like, how important is empowering communities to you and the rest of the company?
Oh yeah, it's huge. It's very important. And in our retail footprint, we're hoping to have, you know, 10 to 12 stores in the next 18 months or so. And we're certainly on target to meet or exceed that. So we're really excited about that. The other thing I'll say about our retail locations is we were very deliberative about which municipalities we sought application in, which municipalities that we really went after. We tried to go after very, very large cities with very large, you know, traffic counts, populations. You know, there were in Michigan, is a municipality had to tell you if they're going to allow you to come in or not. The state has a law, and then the cities are the ones that say if you can come in or not. So there's only a handful of cities in the entire state that allow cannabis, right?
Right.
So we really sought the A1, the most populated cities in the state. And we think that gives us a very unique footprint. So at Cloud, we feel like we probably have the number one, if not the number two retail footprint in the entire state. So we're super excited about that. Secondly, I have over 200,000 square feet of cultivation and processing space in Grand Rapids. Wow. I have 55,000 square feet in Flint. In our Grand Rapids facility alone, we anticipate hiring somewhere around 75 to 100 people once we're fully up and operational. So the jobs piece, I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff, because that's something I speak to these municipalities a lot. People look at this as a tax revenue for these cities, and a lot of people will tell them, hey, look, if you allow us to move in here, you'll get this big tax kick from the state. The tax revenues are great, but they're determined at the state level by how many adult use licenses you allow per municipality. So it's not a huge albatross like people think it's going to be. The benefits of these municipalities, the benefits to these communities, the benefits to these neighborhoods are in the jobs. And they're in the jobs in a good paying industry with a lot of upward movement that really values people that have historically been underemployed or unemployed. And we at Cloud really push an active commuter type of an employee. So we want someone who's so local that they can either walk, bike, or ride a bus to work, rather than take their car. And that's done for a number of different reasons, but that approach really focuses our hiring, and it's intentional to be directly associated around our facilities in order to lift up the entire community around our locations and not just handpick people throughout the state and fill them into jobs. I mean, we want these to be local jobs. We want these to be local shops. We want these to be locally centered facilities that the community and the surrounding neighborhood directly can feel good about and be proud of as well.
Fantastic. So John, we're kind of part of the show now where we, you know, we talk about business and all that fun stuff in the beginning, and then we just tap off the show with a couple of quick fire questions about you. Are you ready?
Yep, let's do it.
All right. First question. What would a world populated by clones of you be like?
What would a world populated by clones of me be like?
Yes.
Wow. Holy smokes. Loud. It would be loud. I think it would be kind. It would be welcoming. It would be joyful. And it would be loud.
Good. Those are all good. And
okay,
a lot of
good.
A lot of cannabis shops all over the place, right?
That's right. That's right. Anywhere I could put them.
What social stigma does society just need to get over?
I think this stoner type of mentality, you know, or this burnout type of mentality. You know, I've kind of gone through my own progression, you know, since, you know, discovering cannabis. And, you know, I've thankfully had you know, 9 years now to kind of learn and grow and all that kind of stuff. And I see it from the other side now. There's a lot of just that thought process is, if you use cannabis, it's like, oh man, yeah, you know, and there's so much more than that. I mean, these are professionals of any discipline you can in this world that are regular cannabis users, and successful people that are regularly using cannabis. And these aren't people that are, you know, not able to function because they're covered in Taco Bell wrappers and, you know, Seth Rogen movies or something like that. I mean, it's a stigma of just getting that stoner mentality out of people's minds. This is cannabis. This is not something that people are just running around doing bong rips all over. It's so much bigger than that now.
Part of my conversations day in and day out, just on that topic.
Yeah, it's amazing too. Like when you actually have a conversation, which, I mean, it sounds like you do quite often, when you actually have a conversation with these people, Jeff, it's not hard to get them to understand what actually is taking place, right? It's not like you have to beat it in people's heads. Most people get it relatively soon if it's presented in the right manner. You know what I mean? And I think that's really kind of our approach with Plowed, is to make sure that you're putting forth the best of the cannabis industry to people, and people can kind of evolve to it as they see fit. But if you're giving them the right information and you're packaging it the right way and you're being honest with them, I think that goes a long way, and hopefully it'll work across the entire world, and it'll just kind of knock down on some of that negative stigma.
With you. Okay, so what weird food combinations do you really enjoy?
Oh, man, peanut butter and banana for me, man. Peanut butter and banana, anything I can do with peanut butter and banana, you put those two together and you put them on anything, and I'm good with it. You know, depending on how late in the evening it is, it might get even weirder than that, but that's certainly my go-to, is peanut butter and bananas.
So, final question, you know, any recommendations for anyone out there that actually wants to switch professions just like you have, like totally switch professions?
Yes. You know, I've been very fortunate in my life that I have found two professions that really never felt like jobs to me. Being a police officer never felt like a job to me. It was a passion. You know, I really was committed on doing the right thing and making the world a better place. And a lot of the similarities are there on the cannabis end as well. So, I mean, my advice would be, listen, we only got one shot at this thing in life, right? It's only one time. We're all here for one shot, and then, you know, it's gone. So every day I find that I try to make an intentional commitment to be the best person I can be. And I think if people try to do that same commitment every single day, that they could switch professions, they could switch living arrangements, they can switch their health. I mean, ultimately, our mantra at Cloud Cannabis is to live higher. And the living higher is not about, you know, being high. It's about just living the best version of yourself. So for me, I'm living higher in the fact that I get to live out a dream of being in the cannabis industry. I was living higher in the fact that I was able to live out a dream and be a police officer. You know, so I think people have to look at that and say, what is the best version of themselves? What is that that they aspire to be? Who is that that they aspire to be? And ultimately, that's the goals and mindset they have to take into it, is just live higher, live the highest version of yourself. And if you have to switch careers, you know, at the age of 37 and be really scared and not sure about things, and, you know, you just have to do it, because the regret for not trying is not worth it, in my opinion.
Great, great advice. Well, John, listen, it was awesome having you on the show, and it was great to hear more about Cloud Cannabis and everything that you guys are up to. And also, really awesome to hear about the whole story about how you know, went from being a cop to a cannabis entrepreneur. So again, thanks so much for coming on the show, and really appreciate it.
Yeah, Jeff, and thank you. And thanks for the work you're doing on behalf of the industry and for speaking truth to cannabis, because it's very important, and you're a big part of it. So thank you. Thank you for your work.
Awesome.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.